Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron, and I'm here with Tom and Dom for another exciting episode of Jump Point. Happy Sunday. This is, I believe, our seventh episode of Jump Point, and today we are going to talk about Battletech licensing. So Battletech licensing is a hot topic, because Battletech is a hot topic. Everybody always wants to know what's going on and what's coming next. So we're going to speculate a little bit on that today. But first, we're going to do a little bit. We're going to start with a patron Q&A.
Okay?
We're going a little bit out of order today. So this question comes in from Chaplain Steve, who is a staunch supporter of the channel. And Chaplain Steve asks, as more official mechs are released from Catalyst, what do we think the future is in terms of customization software? So we talked a little bit about, obviously there's Mega Mech, there's that other one, Skunkworks, right? There's a couple other, I think, homebrew options out there. I believe Catalyst released an app, but that was more of like a record sheet type thing. So what do you think, guys? Do you think Catalyst is gonna buck up and provide some quality software, you know, for mech customization, record sheet management, all of these things, something maybe perhaps we could have, you know, on our smart devices? What do you think?
Emergency extraction protocol initiated.
No.
Tom's hard pass.
I don't see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so you're kind of describing like a Wizards of the Coast model, right, with their new D&D app.
D&D Beyond, right.
I don't see customization of mechs as like a core thing. I know we're very different on that, but like you say that and my eyes like literally glazed over when you're like, you can customize them. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But the record sheets, and it's the same thing, like the record sheets, like we play D&D with the app, don't love it. I mean, you're like swiping through screens, and you know, I don't know. It's so much easier with a paper sheet, in my opinion. Just hard pass.
Yeah. Dom, what do you think?
For me, it's actually complete contrary to that. I love all the digital kind of apps that you can get. The one thing though that I'm not interested in, the one thing I will absolutely agree on with Tom is I'm not a custom mech builder either. So it's a bit difficult for me to give like an opinion on that that's not completely biased. I don't like custom mechs. I don't like playing with them. I don't like coming up against them.
Yeah, me either.
I like the weird quirks that you get in the kind of core mechs because they're built specifically to be bad or to have management problems that you have to deal with. But saying that, I think the community on the whole love to build mechs. So if they can do it, they should, because they can monetize it. So it would be Dom, a do it for me, but not for me.
Dom, is there a current app for a game that you would point to as like a digital aid that you like?
That's a very good point. I think for Battletech, I can only say it for Battletech, really. I love the Flex app. Yeah. I think they've done the Catalyst have created a version of like a record sheet manager app that you can get. But I think the Flex app is just so like well made and so like easy to use and I use that all the time. I've actually got like a 60-inch television here. Because this is my like gaming studio. So when I pull out all the tables, I can get the Flex app on there and you can just run it like a massive record sheet in the center of the room.
That's cool. That's kind of cool. I never thought about putting it on a big TV.
Let's move on to our Ready Room Roundtable. So we're going to talk a lot about licensing. I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to go to my notes here. I'm going to talk about the State of the Union of Battletech licensing. For those of you that don't know, Battletech was created by a company called FASA, and that was, what was that, 80 something, early 80s, if not maybe even 79, I don't know, but I think it was early 80s. Raul Partha, was the company that produced BattleTech miniatures since the beginning, and they were bought by FASA in 1998. FASA sold its computer game rights to Microsoft in 1999, and this came well after the blockbuster hits, right? MechWarrior 2, Ghost Bear Legacy, and then MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries. I mean, those were massive games. So after those, FASA sold it to Microsoft in 99. FASA then closed in 2001. That was right about when MechWarrior 4 came out, the video game. The classic license then went to WizKids. WizKids was then bought by Topps in 2003. Then InMedia Res was founded in 2003 as well. Catalyst Game Labs was then created by InMedia Res in 2007. WizKids transferred the classic license to CGL in 2008. WizKids then shut down. Ralpartha becomes a division of IWM in 2014. Ralpartha is retired in 2020. And then Fanatics comes to an agreement to buy Topps just last year. And I don't know legally, like, if that deal is officially closed yet, but it is in progress if not closed. So that's like the state of affairs right now. So that brings us to our first question in the roundtable. Yeah, it's crazy. Talk about like a bifurcated license. There's all these different people that have their hands in the pot. And before we even started this recording, Dom asked me, he's like, do you want to talk about like the movie and TV rights? And I was like, I don't want to know, because that's like a whole nother thing. No, like different people own that. So it's pretty crazy. So assuming these Kickstarters are successful and continue to be successful, right? And our last one we talked about, is it a good model? A lot of people in the comments really supported that it was in fact a good model. I know, Tom, you had sort of a dissenting opinion, or at least some opinions about why it was not. And I sort of agree with you, but I can see the value of those Kickstarters. So let's assume they continue to do those and they're successful. Do we see a point where Catalyst or InMedia Res buys the BattleTech license, like in its entirety, you know, back from Topps, and just, you know, we get Topps out of the picture, we get Fanatics out of the picture, you know, do you think that's even something that they're interested in or care about, or is the relationship positive? I don't know. What do you think, Dom? Let's start with you.
Short answer, no. I don't think that will ever happen. I think the license is so convoluted and complex that I think any company doing that would really kind of need to analyze exactly what they want to do, like over a 5-10 year plan in regards to all aspects of it. And I think that's where the complications come in. So for instance, there's a huge digital element to this in terms of the computer games. So you'd either need all the licensing agreements to do the sublicensing to get other people to make your games, which is complex as well, or you'd need a team in-house, like what Microsoft would obviously have, where they make their own games. You then need someone to kind of, or something like a factory to churn out all the, you know, the physical models, or you license that out. And then you've got, not to mention all the books and the fiction and the TROs and everything else. So it's a huge, huge IP. It's got many different strands, and a company, or most companies in our sphere, just simply couldn't handle that. Like, you look at like Games Workshop as a prime example of a company who can, but they are absolutely massive, and they're dedicated to, you know, the model making, licensing out all the computer games, etc. And I think having to get one company to do that would be just nightmarish, and they'd need a vast amount of capital. So I think at the moment, the split IP, although it's honestly quite disastrous for BattleTech, I don't think there's anyone who would agree that, you know, having split IP like this has done any benefit for the gaming system or anything else. I think it's been actually quite tragic. I mean, I know we're not going to touch on TV shows, but it is why we don't have a TV show. We would have absolutely got one if they'd have had a, you know, like a central license. So it's a massive project, and I think it would be incredibly risky as well. So my vote on that would be, I'd love to see it, but I don't think we're ever going to get it.
All right. Tom, what do you think?
I think at this point, the video games are so well separated, it's hard to see somebody getting control of all of that again. Catalyst is probably super happy with just running with the game as part of their product portfolio. They seem to have a passion for the game.
Yeah.
And not a ton of bandwidth. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the video game side of things. And I think that's a great segue to our next portion of this roundtable, which is, do you think over time we will see a convergence or a divergence between the tabletop side and the digital side? And by that, I mean, you know, do we think that the designs of the mechs, the rules, right? So for example, right, in the Harebrained Schemes Battletech game, right, there's this whole new concept of stability, right? And if the mechs get hit with so much damage, they risk falling over, right? So they're like inventing new game mechanics that are grounded in Battletech, but they're totally new, right? And they're not represented in a tabletop. Whereas if one company owned them, you know, you would, I think, see those things line up a little bit more. So do we think those things are going to come together or continue to diverge? And I don't know all of the personalities involved. I know Jordan, right, is over on the video game side. I know, you know, Randall and Lauren, obviously, over on the Catalyst side, on the pen and paper side. So what do you guys think? Tom, we'll start with you this time.
It's hard to say. I mean, I wonder if some of those rules are made to address issues with that platform, you know, with mm-hmm. like the specific, you know, gameplay on a computer. I think, honestly, I mean, if we're talking like 10 years down the road, you know, I'm still pretty bullish on VR, being a huge, and AR being a big part of gaming in the future. I could totally imagine where you can seamlessly go between, you know, playing in cockpit in a video game and back to your room with your friends with a board laid out, you know, so maybe even you're attacking and, you know, you zoom into a thing or you see the damage play out and then the link is a lot closer. So yeah, 10 years down the road, I could see it. And you know, that goes back to the licensing question too. Maybe, you know, if somebody got control of both of them, you could see a really cool integrated. Because I mean, I would like to play the video game, but I don't have the bandwidth to like do tabletop and video gaming.
Right.
I have one game for the Oculus. Like that's all. So
it's a good point about the VR AR and the convergence. There's something about having, you know, physical things to touch and feel. I don't think. That said, we talked about this in an earlier episode, right? Like, will it go away? And I don't think it will either, but I do think that there will be a fusion of technology and the tabletop side. Dom, what do you think?
Hey, dude, just imagine. Yeah.
We'll do a whole nother episode on Tom's AR, VR.
Yeah, what could that look like? We should have a whole thing on it. Okay, sorry, Dom. Go on. Yeah,
That's fine. I think the convergence on this, and I broaden this out a little bit, because I think the convergence has already started. And I think you can see that in regards, I mean, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but there's a very clear like relationship between the people doing the digital stuff for Battletech and the tabletop. And I mean, like the Harebrained Scheme game is a really good example. Like a lot of those mech designs look so similar to the mech designs that we're now getting for the like the tabletop. Now, I don't know if that's like part synergy or, you know, like if it's not coincidental, but, you know, there's some kind of like osmosis between teams. And, you know, like, I mean, they do this for like Ironwind all the time, right? So, I mean, I recently saw like a render for the Atlas 2, which I think was, you know, which looks like it's going to go into production for the plastics, but it's actually something for the metals. So there's definitely a lot of crossover between everything that's going on here. I think that's really positive as well. It would be nightmarish if we had like a digital IP that was completely like ostracized and wanted nothing to do, you know, with anything going on tabletop. You'd just get this like really weird, fragmented situation. I think it would cause a lot of branding problems and issues within the IP. I don't think that happens though. I genuinely don't. I think that, you know, there is a tight-knit relationship, and I think that will create benefits going forward. So it may be, for instance, that on the kind of IP and the licensing side, maybe they are much more forgiving of each other's like area, and they're not willing to kind of, they don't want to go to court with each other or to sue each other or anything like that. So it tends to be a little bit more like, well, if we do our bit right and make what we're doing really good, that benefits the whole. And I think there is that ethos and mentality amongst amongst everyone in BattleTech, which is a bit of a joy, really. And I think we take that for granted, because you don't get that in a lot of areas. Usually it's just, you know, this is my kingdom and anyone who infringes on it, I will sue. So I'd like to see, you know, like these things come together as much as possible. Like I said, I would love to see a unified IP, but you know, I just don't think we will get it. But I think what we've got is about as good as it can get, really.
All right. Well, let's jump to the last question here, and we'll make this one a quick one in the interest of time. So in the world where we have, you know, 3D printing, we have these great new plastics, what happens to IWM and that whole side of things in the next, you know, 5 years?
You don't actually want to record what I think. We should just... Just skip over you.
I'll tell you what I think. Why don't you start? I'll start.
Put your toe in the water. I need to know where we're at. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people look at it, and you know, there are a core group of people that still love metal models. And Ironwind had a place when, you know, there were just plastic mechs coming out, but now there are plastic vehicles and more aerospace fighters and battle armor. And you know, for me, you know, I don't want metal miniatures if I can have a plastic miniature. Metal miniatures fall over more; they chip, right? You have to glue them together. They weigh more. And if you have to glue a plastic one together, it's a hell of a lot easier. So, to me, like I'm actually surprised Ironwind hasn't modernized its facilities to become the U.S. like printer or molder or whatever of these new plastics. Like, I will tell you right now, and maybe I'm just out in left field, I would pay double what they are currently charging for mech packs if I knew they were coming from the US. Like 100%. I'm going out there and I'm saying that if Ironwind was like, hey, we're now plastic wind metals, you know, plastic when plastic, yeah. I don't know. Then, you know, I would absolutely spend more to buy domestic, like 100%.
Yeah, in a heartbeat.
I guess we can kind of fast forward, and I'll skip you guys so you don't have to say anything, you know, too rough. But I think they have to modernize, or they will be much like the dinosaur. So let's jump into our interstellar news. So we don't have a ton of exciting news because the Merc packs are out. We've done some reviews, some product reviews on those already. If not all four of them, I think all four of them have been filmed, but they probably haven't released at this point. And the Grey Death one's coming later. So the big thing here is Adepticon. Exciting. I am going to Adepticon. Tom is unfortunately not attending, as he is competing in the ski Olympics for dads. That's actually not a thing. He's just going on vacation to ski. but unfortunately, he won't be able to make it.
I'm offended you're going without me.
You were the one that convinced me to go.
I know, it's my own fault. I know.
Can't even get into it. But I'll be there. Dan will be there. Potentially other DFA team members will be there. Several of our patrons will be there. We're going to have some tables reserved. It's going to be a great time. Also, I will be participating in Catalyst's very exciting live stream event. So I'm excited to do that. That will be Friday, somewhere around 1 o'clock, I think. So dial in around there. And I should be on in my glory, talking about my childhood and playing with plastic robots. Very excited about that. So we're about 2.5 weeks away, I guess, at this point, which is really, really exciting. Some other exciting news, and I know not all of you are giant fans of the speed paints, but Army Painter is releasing a new 2.0 plus mega speed paint bundle with all sorts of new colors. So when Dan and I reviewed the BattleTech box from Army Painter with all the little paints in it, there were some speed paints in it. And I had made the comment. I was like, yeah, it feels like the paints were a little thicker. They went on a little better. They were a little easier to use than some of the earlier the paints that we used. And I guess this 2.0 plus Mega Speed Paint bundle, maybe they revised the formulas. Maybe they've added some colors. So if you're into that sort of thing, I think that's coming out maybe in April. I don't have a definitive date on it yet. But as you know, Ares Games and Minis does stock all the Army Painter goodness. So you can head over there and check that out. Speaking of visually appealing, Tom, it is your favorite of all segments. We've decided this is your favorite. It is the Render Blender. There it is. So we are going to look at a mech that I probably should review on Battletech. It is
You should.
It is
You really
fearsome.
should.
It is delicious. It packs four of my favorite weapon. It is the Rifleman 2C. Now, some people might call this the Rifleman IIC, but it is in fact the 2C or 2 Clan, as is the clan refit of the Rifleman. So I've got three great renders here that came off of Anthony Scroggins' Patreon. Every now and then he'll release some updated renders. This is an older one,
Is
but
this a bootleg?
this is not bootleg.
Bootlegging this or?
This is not bootleg. So this will be in the Kickstarter. I don't know if it's going to be in the box set or if it's going to be an
Talked
add-on.
about it, I think.
I think it is going to be an add-on. Well, like a
It's an
Lance
add-on, yeah. It's in
a star pack.
the clan pack, yeah.
Yeah. So Tom, Regalis, I'm
Let's
going to
get
bring
into
this
it.
up. Let's
Come on.
bring this up to full screen. Tell us what you think.
Okay, love the legs. The really cool riding boots he's got on. The kind of fully thigh-high boots. Pretty cool. Hip holsters. He probably has granola bars in there. Like he's ready, you know. Yeah, no, it looks great. I mean, jokes aside, do we have a better shot of that? I'm gonna guess it's a detachable escape pod head, because it's
Ooh,
yeah.
look at that.
So you got the USS Enterprise docking him. Kind of looks very
You know what it looks
what
like?
is
It
that
looks like
towel?
one
It
of
looks like a
the
towel
Tau
drone.
drones. It looks like a Tau drone. Yeah,
100%. It's
that's
just like a tel
cool.
drone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all awesome,
Why
man.
is
I
the
mean, this is
cockpit
a
on
really
that? Is the
cool.
cockpit underneath the
Well,
head? Yeah, okay.
so this is like a sensor array.
Right.
Yeah.
And
That
this
makes
is the
sense, yeah.
cockpit under here. So
So
let me get
what it
back here.
Oh, I
What is
see. Yeah, I
our
see.
yeah, the back again, they're doing a really awesome job with the heat sink vents, or
Yeah.
Yeah, they look
right, that's what
so
all those
good.
vents are.
Yeah.
Especially here, I love how they kind of come up and over, just really cool. I again, asymmetry, it has the offset antenna. Love that. Little Yeah, I mean, if you really check out the feet, if you go through the pictures and look at the feet, they're so cool. There's such really neat split toe, kind of tabby, and then you have the side those side pieces look like they articulate too. It has just a lot of movement. It's very cool. I like this design a lot. Yeah,
Yeah,
see
I'm
that? Like
pretty.
it has a little side toe.
Yeah, it's cool. I didn't actually notice it until you pointed it out. Like it's got like the cloven hoof, but then the side toes. It's very neat. I definitely love this design, and I absolutely agree with you. The heat sinks, right? This is a mech with four. I think it's got four large clamp pulse. So this thing is bacon. So it's gonna need the
It's
heat
as good
sinks.
looking coming up at you as it is leaving.
I think that wraps up actually this episode. We're all done. We're all done. So a couple of things to discuss. Number one, first and foremost, smash that subscribe button, bro. Give us a like, leave a comment, and of course, if you want to help out the channel more, head on over to Patreon. Patreon is what keeps us going. It's what helps us generate new content, buy new equipment. Keep everything cutting edge, much like this delicious rifleman that you're looking at. So you can support us over there on Patreon. And we mentioned it before, but head on over to Ares Games and Minis. Derek is the man with the plan. I've been getting all of my new mercenary packs from Derek, all the books. He's been hooking me up, getting everything shipped in a timely fashion. And I've been actually using Ares Games and Minis since day one. Since day one, Tom. It is. I've never had an issue.
I remember.
Never had
OG.
An issue.
Yeah.
OG. Derek
original
is
original gamer.
Original gamer. It's a true story. It's a true story.
Original games. OGS. Original game store.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So, not to be confused with the FLGS, which is very hard to say. Anyway.
Yeah. Are you going to have like a patron meetup, like a hangout?
Yeah, well, we've been planning it. Actually, the good chaplain that had our patron Q&A, he's going to be there. We've been talking. He's driving up, so he's going to pack some game mats for us, and everybody's going to bring some terrain. There's a few other folks, Dapper and a few other guys that are on Discord that are coming as well. And so we're, you know, going to bring some mechs, bring some terrain. I may or may not bring some aerospace fighters. I don't know. We'll see. But it'll be good.
I meant like a wing knight. Gonna get wings.
Oh, a wing knight.
Wings.
I am meeting up with the guys from Ion.
Is that
Radio.
Is that only for us? Yeah.
That's yeah. elite tier and up.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
It's funny. We're gonna fly. I'm gonna have you abducted from your trip in Vermont.
I was just googling airfare, see if I could like fly out of Burlington or something, and, like sneak out.
Well, you know, you need to do it. Tickets are still available, Tom. I think you should do it. All right. Well, anyway, let's wrap this one up. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And, of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Have a good day.